to AWARE. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to The Aware Show. I am such a privilege to be here with you all today. Thank you so much for joining me on this oasis of conscious media in the middle of the day in Los Angeles. Welcome. I'm Lee Segar, and just wanted to bring your attention to our website, which is theawareshow.com, and you will find lots and lots of interviews, wonderful interviews. Oh, I'm almost 4,000 of transformational interviews that really just provide you the information that could unlock and could be the key that you're looking for. Or it could just be something you share with a friend. It's always inspiring. It's always teaching because we're always lifelong learners. So check out my website, theawareshow.com. You'll see video interviews and audio interviews in our community site, etc. All right. So, wow, great tradition that is moving to Los Angeles is Buddha Fest. You just heard it, the little ad there, because KPFK is a media sponsor of Buddha Fest Los Angeles. It's been in D.C. many, many years. And joining me is Eric Forbes, the founder of this incredible, gosh, it's a huge three-day event that's happening June 2, 3, 4 at the Writers Guild Theater in Bev Hills. And it's incredible mindfulness, compassion through films, teachings, music, meditation, all sorts of great things. Thank you, Eric, for joining me.
Hi, Gina. Thanks a lot. It's nice to join you.
It's Lisa. That's great. No, it's fine.
Oh, I said no.
That's okay. Gina's been awesome. Gina Salvati's the producer, and she's been setting all this up, and she's great.
Okay.
I think she's talked to you guys a million zillion times. So tell me a little bit about the Buddha Fest and how it's come about.
Well, it's a festival that I've been doing in Washington, D.C. for the past 7 years, and I happened to actually have moved to L.A. last year and decided to bring the festival here with me.
Ah.
And, so this will be our first time doing it here this coming weekend.
Any conscious reason to move out of the D.C. area? might need it more than ever.
It's kind of one of those California dreaming things, and I finally decided to answer the call and do it after quite a few years of thinking about it.
Well, great. Now, how did you come up with the idea of Buddha Fest? And tell us what it is, a little bit about what it is.
Sure, Lisa. It's a festival. It's really, I'm going to have to say, it's pretty unique in that it has a mix of films and talks, wisdom talks, music, live music, and meditation. And it's really, I mean, the purpose of it is to really bring people together in community to really kind of embrace and even celebrate mindfulness and compassion. And it's something that a few years ago, I just had been working on putting together a screening of this little film about some Tibetan nuns that we wanted to show while the Dalai Lama was going to be in Washington, D.C. doing a talk, and just had such a really great time just letting people know about this nice little film and just thought, you know what would it be like to have a whole festival of films like this, and also we could have, you know, teachings and meditation and music, and so that's how Buddha Fest got started.
Well, the films are amazing, and they're the transformational media films that I love to watch about. There's several of them. There's the a tribute to Leonard Cohen, which is amazing. There's The Last Dalai Lama, which sounds incredible. How do you select these films?
Well, I work with the International Buddhist Film Festival. Actually, we're going to have Tano, who's the director of that, on a little later. And I'm going to have to say that if not the foremost authority on Buddhist themed films in the world, he's definitely one of them. And so he sees a lot of films in the course of the year, and then together we decide on what would be a good fit for BuddhaFest.
Mm. Yes, these films are absolutely incredible. And then the music and the teachings and so forth, I recognize some of the great teachers. Can you tell us about some of them?
Sure. One of them is Sharon Salzberg, mm-hmm. who is one of the foremost meditation teachers here in the United States, New York Times bestselling author. And she's going to be doing a teaching on real love and just kind of unpacking some of the myths about love. And then she'll be doing some meditation as well. And then we have Noah Levine, who is based here in L.A., with the Against the Stream Buddhist Society here in Los Angeles. And he's going to be talking about Buddhism as rebellion and just talking about how, you know, ever since, you know, for 2,600 years, really, you know, these Buddhist teachings, you know, there's a form of rebellion as part of these teachings, and kind of like rebelling against this kind of the status quo and the cultural norms. And so he's going to talk about that, especially during these, you know, these challenging times that we're in right now. Yeah, so that's going to be a really good one.
Wonderful, wonderful. I also see Dawa Tarchin Phillips is going to be joining me. He's a friend of mine. Wonderful. And also incredible lineup I'm looking at here. Look at the website if anyone is in front of your computer, buddhafest.org, and it's spelled B-U-D-D-H-A, fest.org. And it's for anyone who wants to, not only if you're a student of Buddhism, but if you're really looking for answers that come from a deep, deep 2,600-year-old teaching and practices of Buddhism. I mean, there is just a deep body of knowledge that's centered around non-suffering and compassion and interconnectedness. But this is from also a deeply spiritual place and a very practical place, because as we look around our world right now, we're not seeing those things, which I just mentioned, oneness, compassion, not a lot in our news. So this is a way to really look at, as I've mentioned many, many times on our show here, is that I think the onus of compassion and conscious media is within the hands of the people. And the more we learn and empower ourselves by going to events like this and learning from these incredible experts who have been deeply steeped in these teachings for decades, is an incredible way to immerse yourself in your own self-teaching, your own self-learning. So,
Lisa, I love the point that you made about this. You know, this isn't just about, you know, Buddhism, and it's not just a Buddhist festival. Really, this is, you know, doing this for 7 years in Washington, D.C., I mean, we had, you know, probably the majority of the people who came, you know, aren't Buddhist, but they're really open to these teachings. They love being in community with other people. And also it's a fun weekend. And the only thing we haven't mentioned yet is the music. But on Saturday night, we're going to have this incredible concert with this woman who's known as the rock star nun from Nepal. Her name is Ani Choyang Drolma. And she does chants and songs, and she's just
nice.
She's beloved in Nepal. She's a humanitarian, is doing so many good things, and she just has this unbelievable voice. And just it's a rare opportunity to see her. She doesn't get to LA very often, but it's just going to be a really beautiful concert on Saturday night.
Oh gosh, I can't wait. So this is all, thank you for bringing this to Los Angeles, by the way. Sorry, DC, but we are
sure.
We're kind of needing this. your wonderful organization has given us 10 pairs of tickets, and these are 3-day passes for you and a friend. And I must admit that this is a huge gift that you have donated to us and John Rotz, our wonderful your publicist that you've talked with and visionary.
Mm-hmm.
He's helped arrange all of this. And if you call us here at the radio station, this is our fund drive here for KPFK, and we are raising funds for the station, and our wonderful friends here at BuddhaFest have donated 10 pairs of three-day passes. If you want to bring...
Like you said, two of the events have already sold out opening night and then one of the films. So if you want to see everything, this would be the way to do it.
Oh, very cool. Thank you. All right. So here's the number, 818-985-KPFK. This does include the sold-out events. So very cool. 818-985-KPFK. And guess what? We're doing this for a really amazing donation of $225 for the pair. And it's $200. Wow, that's even more amazing. That's a great donation to the station. It's $200 for the pair. It's $375 value for the pair. So I'm getting this straight. Just give us a call. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. That's really amazing. All right, so... joining us also on the phone, and we're getting our next guest ready, is the director of the International Buddhist Film Festival. And this is hosting the weekend, basically, which is amazing. And some of the films that are being presented, we can find out about here if I can get my guest on. Is he ready? We've got Gaetano Kazuo Maeda. Did I get that right? Tano, I know. They call you for short.
That's pretty close. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much. Actually, I would love to honor your full name. Could you tell me, please?
Sure. My name is Gaetano Kazuo Maeda, and it's a weird name because my father was Sicilian and my mother was Japanese, so I have a little of both in the name there.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Now, you're the executive director of the Buddhist Film Foundation? Yes?
Actually, I'm executive director of Buddhist Film Foundation, which is the developer and producer of the International Buddhist Film Festival. We've been producing the festival since 2003, and we've presented all over the world, 10 cities on three continents in the years since we started in Los Angeles.
Fantastic. You must see an amazing amount of movies, all probably incredible. How do you choose which ones to include in the festival?
Well, you know, it's the most important thing to us has always been a good story well told. So the issues are first and foremost the quality of the work. And we have a very, we'll say, fluid definition of what is a good film for the International Buddhist Film Festival. What we're looking for, obviously, is Buddhist subject or a Buddhist setting, but most importantly, we understand that we can embrace any film that has a Buddhist implication. So that gives us enormous latitude, and of course, we have presented films from 22 countries over the years, and our interest is in presenting and really embracing the diversity of Buddhist traditions around the world through cinema.
Now, tell me why you feel you've been doing this in Los Angeles for 14 years. Do you feel...
No. Actually, we only did one. We did our first festival in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art in 2003. Mm. And since then, we've been all over the world. We go where we're invited. We're not a typical same time, same place every year festival. We are essentially a curatorial enterprise, and we accept invitations from presenting institutions, including our good friends at Budapest in Los Angeles, but museums and universities and other film festivals around the world that would like to see this kind of cinema as part of their programming.
Thank you for clearing that up. And I love the fact that you're doing this in L.A., but I want to ask you, in your opinion, do you feel that this year is different in any way? Do you feel that these films will be received in a different way this year?
You know, you can't stand in the same river twice.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is everything is constantly moving. The change is a given. We accept that, and we look for new films whenever we can because they're going to be closer to the moment, closer to the tone of our times. And, you know, we're living with a new regime in Washington. Everyone's concerned. But, you know, the Buddha lived in a very difficult time in India, and he saw war, and he saw all kinds of civil strife. He saw, you know, repression, and he maintained his equilibrium, his equanimity through it all. And that really is our role, is to invite films that celebrate the tradition from wherever they are, and really focus on this ability of a Buddhist perspective to enable people to engage with the world and really reduce the suffering around them. So we have a film from Myanmar, Golden Kingdom, stunning film. We have a film from Japan, Fukushima, Mona Moore, which really addresses the disaster in Fukushima, but at the same time is really a story of two women learning to live with loss and death and love. We have the U.S. premiere of a film from Bhutan. It's called Hema Hema, Sing Me a Song While I Wait, and it's the most recent film by a Tibetan Lama, Khyentse Norbu, who's respected and highly regarded a Tibetan Buddhist teacher, but he is a master filmmaker, and he has something to offer in a very different way. The U.S. premiere of Tzu Chi, Doing Good in the World, highlights the work of a very activist community of nuns in Taiwan, but there are going to be hundreds of their U.S. Volunteers who are going to join us at the screening in Los Angeles. So even the Last Dalai Lama, the film by Mickey Lemley, which is going to be our closing night film, is really about this time and place. The Dalai Lama, of course, is faced with his mortality. At the same time, he has a vision for the future. It's something from his tradition, but as many of your listeners know, the Dalai Lama is nothing if not a willing participant in the modern world, someone who engages very actively with human rights, with science, with compassionate work all over the world. So you see that the time is always going to be a challenge. I think we know that 2003, you know, the reason why our first festival was in Los Angeles in 2003 is that our first festival was supposed to be in New York City in October of 2001. Mm. And we all know what happened in September. Mm-hmm. So we're always challenged, always challenged. And the response of the Buddhist traditions is to really dig into the center through the techniques, the teachings that they've handed down for all these many years, and practice. The difference, perhaps, between the Buddhist approach and some of the other approaches to a spiritual life is the core practice, that is the eightfold path. And this is very, very simple stuff, but it really makes a difference because, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, if you're on a ship in a storm, attacked all around, it's the one person who has the equanimity to maintain their center, maintain their calm, that can save everyone on that boat. We may be on a boat, a social boat, in very high seas right now, but I think that the opportunity is to use your breath and to use your view of the world as being impermanent and as not being totally interconnected, to help you to engage with your neighbors, your family, your community, in order to survive this rather stormy sea.
I really appreciate that beautiful answer to my question. This was something that, as I intuited, is very needed in LA at this time, but also in a universal level. And these films that you're bringing to us, we wouldn't normally have the chance to. They're not mass marketed. They're not the big blockbusters. These are the films that have the vision, have the messages that really need that type of promotion, but don't usually have the budgets. And the fact that you're bringing to us in a teaching way is immense. Are the filmmakers going to be joining us as well?
Several of the filmmakers will be there on Friday night. We're showing three films, two shorts and a feature film. All three directors will be there for the tribute to Leonard Cohen. The director of the U.S. premiere of Tzu Chi, Doing Good in the World, will be attending. The director of The Last Dalai Lama, Mickey Lemley, will join us on Sunday night, and he's bringing with him musician Tenzin Chergyal, who is the who wrote the original score for that film with Philip Glass, and he's going to perform on Sunday night with Mickey Lemley. So we have the producer of Golden Kingdom from the producer is from L.A., and the film was made on location at a rural monastery in Myanmar, and she will be with us on Saturday. So we're hoping that the audiences will really get to query the producers and directors of the films that we're showing to get additional insight. But I have to tell you, the films, you know, will do the best that they can with the work that has already been put into the can, as they used to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully expect these films to have a life. You mentioned they're non-commercial, and I really understand that, and you know, it's true. This certainly isn't you know, the next blockbuster, but every single one of these films will find their way to audiences.
Yes.
Through Budafest is producing an online film festival, which will follow the live film festival, and some of these films will be featured there. So that's one way. And
great.
We're helping several of the films. For instance, The Last Dalai Lama, we're going to release with the help of Kino Lorber and Zeitgeist in New York. We're going to release into theaters starting July 6th. And we are launching BuddhistFilmChannel.com, a nonprofit hybrid platform to present as many of the films that we've shown over the years on a video-on-demand basis, sort of like an iTunes for Buddhist cinema.
Oh, my goodness, that is fabulous. BuddhistChannel.com, you said?
BuddhistFilmChannel.com.
Film Channel. Great. How inspirational. Thank you. That is brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant idea. I fully support and appreciate you mentioning that on the show. Thank you so much, Tenno.
My pleasure. I hope you can join us over the weekend in at the Writers Guild Theater.
Yes, it is amazing. Thank you so much. Again, this is June 2nd through 4th, and if you just joined us, KPFK is a media sponsor of Budafest, and it is in here in Los Angeles this coming weekend, June 2 through 4, the Writers Guild in Theater in Beverly Hills. If you go to the website, which is buddhafest.org, BuddhaFest.org, you can learn about all of the amazing speakers and films and meditation, live music. If you call us here at 818-985-KPFK, you can get an actual value of a pair of tickets, which includes the three-day passes, even includes some of the sold-out events. It is a $200 donation to the station for a pair. This is a $370 value online. So we have some of the last tickets here if you are looking for some of those sold-out events. We're going to be speaking next with the director and producer of one of the films that is actually sold out, the Leonard Cohen film. It's called I'm Your Man. And we're going to speak with Leanne Lenson in just a minute. She put together this incredible film, and we'll hear a little of Leonard Cohen's music in just a second. So you can have a chance to give us a call, 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Let's listen to a little Leonard Cohen.
There was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Saw her bathing on tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throat and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah.
That is the beautiful original recording from Leonard Cohen of Hallelujah. He's, of course, the one who wrote all those beautiful lyrics that was then modernized by the film Shrek recently, and we've come to know it. But it is a deep recording of this incredible man, this musician, this performer, Leonard Cohen. And Leanne Lundson is with us. She is the producer-director of I'm Your Man, which is a tribute to Leonard Cohen. Welcome to the show, Leanne. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. I love your show. I'm a avid listener.
Oh, that's awesome. And thank you for emailing me earlier. I appreciate that because your name is spelled a little bit differently.
I know.
You're awesome.
But I realized it was your show, and I'm so happy.
Oh, that makes me feel so great. Thank you. So thank you for letting me dive into Leonard Cohen last night online, and I found myself listening to this beautiful song, and I just love his lyrics. Tell me why you did a tribute to Leonard Cohen and a whole film around his work.
Well, it started with an incredible music person called Hal Wilner. He's very respected in the industry, and he came to me and said that he was putting together a tribute to Leonard Cohen at the Sydney Opera House in Australia, and I'm Australian. So he asked if I could turn this into a film, and at the time I realized I was a huge Leonard Cohen fan, and I knew that if I was to make this a big film, a feature film, and put it in theaters, I would really have to go, you know, and include Leonard Cohen in the film in order to be able to do that. So that's what happened. And, you know, it took me a while to get to Leonard Cohen in the beginning, but eventually I did, and that was that. And
how did you do that? How did you reach him and get to him?
Well, eventually one of his backup singers kept saying to him, you know, this girl, Perla Battaglia, was his backup singer in the 80s, and she was a part of the show in Sydney, and she said, listen, there's this girl doing this film, I think you should speak to her. And I had been writing to him, but I didn't realize at the time that he was suddenly had hit this terrible place in his life where he'd faced all this money drama, and I didn't, you know, it wasn't like him. He was a very well-mannered person. But he didn't respond to me, and when I did find him and meet him, he just was going through that. So, we became friends, fast friends first, and I really didn't talk to him a lot about the film. And you know, and Leonard Cohen was the sort of man that if he said that he didn't want to be a part of it, it was going to be okay. You know what I mean? Mm. I just knew, well, it would be okay. So I just sort of went along and didn't talk to him about it very much, and just, you know, we became friends first.
Oh.
And then eventually I asked him if I could just bring my camera the next day. I was going to lunch at his house. He would make food for me quite often. And so I took a friend with me, and we just had my camera and nothing else, no crew or anything, because, you know, I wanted our conversations to be very much like our conversations all the time when I spent time with him. So the conversations with him came from that.
Beautiful. And, now, when did you start making the film?
I think it was 2005. I think the concert was the end of, in Sydney, was at the end of 2005. And I turned it around very quickly because I wanted to submit it to the Toronto Film Festival. And Leonard Cohen had been in sort of retirement. I mean, he'd been living at the Zen Center in Mount Baldy on and off. And the world hadn't really heard from him that much. So, you know, I wanted to get it to Toronto, and which we got accepted. And then the sort of film, thanks to Lionsgate, of course, you know, the film took on a life of its own, and people were reminded of how great this magical person, you know, was. And so, yeah.
Now, did he pass away after you released the film?
The film was released in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
It's an older film. So we released that back then, and the film had a great life, you know, went on to play a lot of festivals. And I think that Leonard's wisdom and his conversation really came through in the film and reminded people of how important he really is.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. As a seeker, as a person who, these great people come along periodically who are incredible seekers, and they're seekers of truth, and they find that truth wherever it is, you know, without the borders of a religion or anything, they find truth. And that's sort of who he was, I think, in the sense of being a very truthful sage, you know, and they're great, these people, because through their music and poetry and writing, we can sort of hang on to their hand as they take us through the desert, you know, and it's not always pretty, but you learn so much on the journey and come out the other side. And, you know, I think as apart from being a friend, I think just in general, fans of Leonard Cohen, I think I can say are so grateful that he offered his hand to the rest of us for this journey of exploration of all that is truthful.
He influenced many of our modern-day performers. You, too, you interviewed Bono several times throughout the film and many other. Can you tell us some of the musicians that he influenced?
Oh, so many. I mean, you two were massive big fans. Obviously, everyone in the film, Nick Cave, Jarvis Cocker, all of the people who were in the concert were hugely influenced by him. And, you know, Coldplay, Chris Martin, you know, I mean, you name it. I think people have been, Lana Del Rey, incredibly influenced by him. Because, you know, again, he's just sort of the rare person who's really prepared to sort of open himself up and take you on this journey. And going along on that journey with great writers and these artists that are prepared to sort of take you way out there is just such a gift, you know? I mean, it really is, because you sort of grow and you learn. I mean, I first discovered Leonard Cohen through the punk movement in Australia.
Wow.
We would go see Nick Cave shows, and then we'd go home and listen to Leonard Cohen. So he was just such a big influence on so many of us. And I think that, you know, as a human, he was such an extraordinary human, very rare that you see such as him come along, you know, very, very rare. And I feel incredibly grateful that I got to spend this time that I did with him and to make this film, because, you know, I feel like, you know, I like to make films that you come away, and I was listening a bit before to Eric talking about the Buddha Fest, and I like to see films, you come away and you think about them and you contemplate them and you talk about them. And I think that I'm Your Man sort of captured that part of Leonard. And I think it was really, really good for him to see that. Like, I think his favorite moment during this whole process was he had gone to the supermarket, and this young boy was bagging his groceries, and this young boy said to him, "Wow, man, you're so cool." And Leonard looked at him and said, "How do you know who I am?" And he said, "I saw that movie." And that just meant so much to him. He said, "I never thought that my music would reach somebody like that, a young kid."
So
for him, for me, that made all of, you know, making films is really hard work, but that made it so worth it, because, you know, my goal was to try to reach people who hadn't heard of Leonard Cohen, because I think when you make a film, you have the fans, really, whether they like the film or not, they're going to come to see the film. your goal is to reach out to share this person with people who may not have known about him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was sort of my goal in putting it together. It was to try to make something that new people would come toward as well, you know?
Yes. Well, it's a wonderful experience. On Friday night, June 2nd, at 7:30 is the opening night at Budafest, and it's opening with the tribute to Leonard Cohen. And it is actually, that particular evening is sold out, but if you give us a call here, 818-985-KPFK, you will get one of the pairs of tickets for a $200 donation to the station, and you will still be able to get into that wonderful event. And this is a amazing tribute to this man that we're hearing the music of in the background. Give us a call. Let's just take a second here to have people call us, 818-985-KPFK. There are 10 pairs of tickets to Budafest, which KPFK is a media sponsor. So please give us a call here. There are 10 pairs of tickets. I'm not sure how many have gone yet, but it's a $370 value for the pair, and we are asking for a $200 donation for the pair, raising money for this incredible radio station that plays music like this. 818-985-KPFK, the greats, the classics. We give this wonderful performer the space to be heard again and again, and many, many others. So give us a call, 818-985-5735. We're going to find out how many pairs we have left. And again, if you want to go to the website, which is budafest.org, BUDDHAFEST.org, you can check that out with all of the schedule that's happening on Friday night. June 2nd is the beginning. It goes through the 4th. It's this weekend at the Writers Guild Theater in Beverly Hills. And tickets are still available, but for some of the sold-out events, we have your tickets. 818-985-KPFK. I'm going to give you all a chance here to listen to the wonderful music. And thank you so much, Leanne, for joining me and for sharing the information about Leonard Cohen and for really making such a wonderful tribute to this man's music. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being a listener. I'll check in with you soon.
Okay, thanks.
All right, let's listen to the music of Leonard Cohen, the original lyrics of Hallelujah.
There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you heard, the holy or the broken. Hallelujah.
Right. Give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. Again, these are tickets for a pair of tickets to Budafest. It is this weekend, June 2, 3, 4. It's more than just a film festival. There are incredible wisdom teachings, meditations, live music that's happening. It is a $370 value, and for a $200 donation to the station, for raising money for KPFK, you will get 3-day passes to Budafest, L.A., and all you have to do is give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. Please give the volunteers in the phone room your email address and your phone number, and we will put your tickets at will call, and we will call that list in right after the show, and we'll submit it to Budafest. So call us now. You have to give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. Do you and a friend want to go It's you and a friend, which is really cool. $200 for a pair. What else are you doing this weekend other than wanting to be inspired and get great teaching moments through film and music and teachings and so forth? So let's talk a little bit more about who is speaking at Budafest. I know it's more than just a film festival. Eric, can you let us know who else and what other things that people can expect?
Sure. And just so people know, so we're giving away these passes, which are 3-day passes, but if you want to just come to one event, you can get a ticket for one event. We have 10 events over the course of the weekend, so different films and talks and the big concert on Saturday night. So you can come to buy something for one event or all of them, whatever you'd like. And other things that were going on that are going on this weekend. We've got one of the most well known Tibetan Buddhist teachers out there, Panlam Rinpoche, who is going to be coming to LA for Budafest and doing a talk about our emotions and just how do we, we have so much fear and anxiety and anger that arise, and how can we work with those emotions and how can we be kind and compassionate to ourselves. So that we can then, extend that to other people. So that's one that I'm really looking forward to. And let's see, we've got, well, like I mentioned, Sharon Salzberg, who's really a really wonderful, funny teacher. She, she has wonderful insights, but she also has a great sense of humor. And, Sharon has actually been to, amazingly enough, I don't know how this actually worked, but she's been to she's spoken at every single Budafest we've done. This will be the 8th one now. It's just always worked out that she could do it. And she actually, I'm going to say when I first came up with this idea to do it back in 2010, and I just mentioned it to her. And at the time, she was one of my teachers, so I would go to her like a monthly talk in D.C. and see her. And I told her about this, and she's like, "Oh, I'll be there. When's it going to be?" And so I just picked this date, like 1 year from now. Like, all right, we're going to have it like 1 year from this weekend. So she said, "All right, I'll write it down on my schedule." It turned out we couldn't have it that date. We picked another date, but it worked out for her to be there. And every time since, she's been there too. So she doesn't get to LA very often. So if you are a fan of Sharon's or just want to see what she's all about, come and see her Saturday morning.
Fantastic, fantastic. Lots of amazing speakers, opportunities to not only learn, but to practice. It's the Buddhism is a lot about, as I mentioned, reducing suffering, increasing compassion through the practice of meditation and breath and all of the wonderful practices that Buddhism represents and allows us to, as our previous guest Tana was talking about, digging into the center of practice in a time of chaos is how the Buddha originally got through so many of the challenges. The Dalai Lama and all of these amazing teachers got through the challenges of their time. So they have been teaching this, and their teachings have lasted for thousands of years because they work. So it's a wonderful chance and opportunity to regain your center in the middle of a lot of chaos going on in our current environment. It's not the first time chaos has happened, so it's a good thing to learn the tools. Also joining me is Mickey Lemley, and he is the producer of the new film, the director, The Last Dalai Lama. And this is a wonderful film. Many people believe that this Dalai Lama might be the last, and his film explains all of it. Welcome to the show, Mickey. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Now tell me, why do so many people believe that this Dalai Lama might be the last? Why is that?
Well, because he said so. Although I'll preface that by saying that I've known him for over 35 years, and in that time, I've heard him say about a dozen things about what's going to happen after he dies. But recently, about a year and a half ago, he was being interviewed by a German magazine, and he said that he was going to be the last, that he wasn't going to reincarnate. And just to be clear, all Buddhists and all Hindus believe in rebirth, that that the something, some energy, some spirit goes on. It's only the Tibetans that believe that that spirit is reincarnated into a position like the Dalai Lama, so that this Dalai Lama is the 14th in this lineage, and the Tibetans believe that he that each Dalai Lama, after they die, they reincarnate, and then they have to find his reincarnation. Usually it's in the Dalai Lama's case, he was a 2.5-year-old child in very rural part of Tibet in the northeastern corner, in a peasant farmhouse. And he passed a bunch of tests, and they recognized him to be the reincarnation. So,
and he was already 2.5.
Yes, he was 2.5 at that time. This was several years after the 13th Dalai Lama had died, and all of these signs and led them to this house where they found the boy. And in Tibet, it's not just the Dalai Lama that's a reincarnate position. Like, say in this country, the head of Harvard Medical School would be a reincarnate position, and so. When that person died, instead of having an academic search committee, they would have a group of lamas looking for his or her reincarnation. And then they would be able to have a 23-year course of study to train this being to the position that they were going to take. But also, at the same time, they're learning compassion every day. And part of the movie, The Last Dalai Lama, looks at some of the current work of neuroscientists on these issues of learning compassion, and whether or not it's possible to learn. And they've found over the last 20 years of research that it is, that compassion and happiness, it's not something you're born with. It's a skill that can be taught and learned. And the Tibetans have figured out that technology.
That's incredible. So you've included some of those studies in the film.
Yeah, there are parts of the film that deal with just that. And the reason why that's important or useful for everybody is that it's the technology or the mechanism by which each of us can overcome our negative emotions, what the Tibetans call afflictive emotions. Anger, jealousy, greed, envy, violence, ignorance, hatred. These can all be overcome by understanding how your mind works and how you can overcome these. And in fact, by doing so, you're actually alleviating yourself of suffering. So that suffering is not something that is in the outside world. It's something that one creates for oneself through a projection of their mind onto phenomenon.
The Tibetans
have figured this out.
So why would you relate, and tell me how that works in the film, with these ideas of really learning compassion to being the last Dalai Lama?
Well, I wanted to highlight the fact that It's really remarkable that all of us are walking on the planet at the same time that this being is here, and I worry that a lot of people won't appreciate that until after he's gone, and I think that he's a resource for the world. I think that Tibetan Buddhism is a resource that belongs to the world the way that the rainforests do. And it's being destroyed just as quickly as the rainforests in the Amazon, and I think that that we need to appreciate it
even more. Yes,
while it's here,
I find a beautiful link, though, that he has maybe said that he's the last Dalai Lama, but his teachings are now being adopted by scientists and communities and film festivals and, you know, entire festival. I mean, it really, his teachings and the teachings of Buddhism are now in a worldwide level of awareness, and have been for a while, but even more, I think, is when these teachings get put to the test. And That's a beautiful thing. I see a gorgeous link there.
Yes, absolutely. And the Dalai Lama said to me, he said, you know, Buddhism is both a religion, but it's also a science of the mind. And you can appreciate it on either one or both. And so he encourages people not to convert. He says, keep the religion of your grandparents. Like, that's not what this is about. The ability to understand how your mind works and how you, in fact, create your own reality is something that is useful for anybody, for everybody. But he felt that if it came from one religious tradition, the others wouldn't buy it. So about 20 years ago, he challenged the leading cutting-edge neuroscientists to study. He didn't say prove. He said study are these technologies that we've held for over 1,000 years and see if they work. And if they do, then spread the information widely. And so for 20 years, there have been these neuroscientists and more all the time who are studying these things, whether or not compassion and happiness can be increased, whether or not you can decrease your negative emotions of anger and jealousy, hatred, and whether or not having a tranquil mind helps your physical health. And there are these studies all over the place, and there are more all the time, which is great because it's being shown scientifically and not as some religious information coming from one tradition.
Right, and it helps also with the experience of watching who the Dalai Lama is being, which gives you the experiential part of all of the science in action. What is he like up close and personal?
He is so funny and mm-hmm. so not what you would expect, that he just delights me every time I'm with him. It's like he surprises me, he makes me laugh, and he's just one of the most remarkable people I've ever met. I mean, the first time I met him, which was in 1984, I was in a very small group and met him, and he has, his presence is palpable. You feel it when you walk in the room. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners have met very powerful celebrities and maybe political people that have an aura about them. But they'll look you right in the eye. You're the only person in the room. But the wheels are turning, and they're thinking, who is this person, and how can I use them for me? But when you're with the Dalai Lama, he's looking right into your eyes, right into your soul, and he's thinking, who is this person, and what do they need? How can I help them? So you're overwhelmed by this sense of kindness. And he's, you know, he just also might well be the most conscious person on the planet. He's just really brilliant about so many different things.
Hyper aware of everything? Is that what you mean by?
Yeah, I mean, he's living on a plane that's unique in my experience. He knows who, like, he'll be in a large room and, you know, he's not impressed by position or status or anything. He might go and talk to a waiter who is in need of something, some something, and he's got this antenna for who it is that's suffering and what they need.
Beautiful. His life is a very interesting one, in valued, very, very valued in terms of being able to represent and share with so many people around the world and to be revered around the world. But he doesn't see it as that way, does he?
You know, it's not about him.
Mm-hmm.
For him, it's not about him, and he doesn't crave the celebrity, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't bathe in it. He's just about service. It's all like he says in my movie that happiness comes from serving others and helping them. That's where you get happy. It's not about getting more
True.
Stuff or more status or more money or more whatever. It's about serving, and that's the true route to happiness.
Now, why do you feel that he says he will be the last Dalai Lama?
Well, I think he's in this. He's engaged in this chess match with the People's Republic of China that have been destroying his country and his religious tradition and since the 50s. And I think he's concerned that after he dies, that the Chinese will probably pay some Tibetan Rinpoches or lamas to go and find his reincarnation in Tibet, and then the Chinese government will participate in the training the selection of and the training of this so-called reincarnation. And they've done that. The second highest lama in Tibet is called the Panchen Lama. And when the Dalai Lama left in 1959 and went into exile, the Panchen Lama said that he thought that he could do more good by staying in Tibet. And some people accused him of being a puppet of the Chinese. Well, a number of years ago, he was giving a big public talk, and in it he said that the Chinese had brought some development to Tibet, some hospitals and roads, but overall their presence had been extremely destructive and they should leave. And then 2 days later, he was found dead of mysterious causes. Then a number of years went by until it was time to look for his reincarnation, and a group of lamas in Tibet found, through all these signs and tests and so forth, found a young boy who they thought was the reincarnation. And just to make sure, they sent a letter to the Dalai Lama saying, this is who we have. Do we have the right candidate? And the Dalai Lama did a divination and said, yeah, he's the right boy. Well, when the Chinese heard that this delegation had contacted the Dalai Lama, they said that the boy was a splittist trying to split the motherland, that he was an imposter. And the boy disappeared, his family disappeared. And they said, this is the real one. And they picked a candidate who they've participated in training.
Wow, what a history.
And so the Dalai, this is all hard. Everybody saw that as a harbinger of what was to come.
Wow, what a fascinating film. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that. It's called The Last Dalai Lama. And thank you so much, McGee, for the film and for presenting at Buddhafest and everything that you're bringing to the world in terms of consciousness and awareness of this valuable story. Very interesting.
Well, thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. All right, so here is your last chance to my audience to give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. Give us a call. We only had 10 pair of these 3-day passes for Buddhafest LA. We have a few left. Give us a call, 818-985-5735. It is a $200 donation to KPFK for a pair of tickets, meaning you and a friend, which is over almost a $400 value, to go to Buddhafest LA this weekend. These passes do include the sold-out events as well. If you want to look up the entire weekend's events, you can go to buddhafest.org. I want to say thank you so much to my guest, Eric Forbes. Thank you for all that you do to bring together this incredible festival of music and meditation, inspiring films, teachings, everything that you do. Thank you so much. And also, this is June 2nd through 4th, so this coming weekend at the Writers Guild Theater in Beverly Hills. Buddhafest.org is really, truly a representation of embracing the principles of Buddhism, mindfulness, compassion, and bringing it out through these mixed mediums of films and teachings and meditation practices and live music. So come and experience it all. Call us here, 818-985-5735. I have 1 minute. I want to see the last two pairs of tickets go, 818-985-KPFK. It is a $200 donation to the station, 3 days of Buddhafest LA. You can find everything out at buddhafest.org. KPFK is a media sponsor, so give us a call and donate to the station, 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Thank you so much. And we hope to see you there. This is Lisa Garr, and until next time, I invite you to stay aware.